Recruiting Animal here. It's August 12, 2009. The days are going by. It's going to be fall soon. And I want to tell you something. I admitted something very painful to me this week. I was in denial. I knew it all the time. I am a social media-aholic. So I said to myself, Animal, you've got good friends. Why don't you ask them to help you with that problem? So I asked Maureen Sherub, the queen bee of telephone sourcing, to help me. But you know what she said? She said, you guys are all alike. What do you think I am, your mother? I'm not your mother! Maureen, I said, I know you're not my mother. I just decided that I was powerless in the face of social media, and I needed some support to help me break free. You think I'm your mother? She said, I'm not your mother! So I turned to my good friend, Jerry Albright, and he said, Animal, you got to get off of this stuff. He was very compassionate. But Jerry, I said, what about all my friends on Twitter? And he said, listen, those people aren't your friends. You know who your friend is, Animal. You got one friend in this entire world, and it's sitting right on your desk. Well, my keyboard? No, he said, your phone. Animal, he said, a recruiter is like Samson, is his hair. And you know what the internet is? The internet is Delilah. It wants to separate you, source of your strength. Well, Jerry, I said, what should I do? Animal, he said, do you want to make money? Do you want to send out invoices and have checks delivered to your door on a regular basis? Then look, you can go to Starbucks every morning. I don't care. You can sit there all you want, hanging out on Twitter, complaining about the coffee and the noisy customers. But at 9:30 a.m., you better be on that phone or you are lost. You're lost. Do you hear me? I hear you, Jerry. I said, I hear you. Are you running with me, Animal? He said, are you running with me? I'm running with you, Jerry, 110%. Then remember, he said, social media is garbage. You know what it is? It's for chickens who don't have the guts to talk to a stranger on the phone, and it's robbing us, Animal, of our manliness. Twitter is bad for America. Email is bad for America. What about LinkedIn, I said? LinkedIn, he said, that's okay, as long as you call the person on the phone. Just don't email them, and don't send them a tweet, and don't leave a comment on his blog. What about video, I said? Forget it, he said. Just get on the phone. Get on the phone. Hey, Jerry, I said, don't take it too far. You're not my father. You're not my father. Well, I won't tell you any more about that. I just want you to have an idea of what I personally am struggling with these days. Not that you care about me, but I've heard it's a common complaint, and I wanted everybody to know that there's a way. But let's move on to my guest. Her name is Stephanie A. Lloyd. She used to be a recruiter. Now she's a career counselor, and she wants to promote herself on What Show Is This?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Stephanie A. Lloyd, are you there?
Here.
You're here? Speak up then, will you?
I am speaking up. Is there a problem?
Well, can everybody hear her? It's the same baloney every week. Jerry, can you hear her?
We're all just shocked from all the stuff that I told you that you now told everybody, I guess.
Okay, well, I just have to tell everybody that I did reconcile with Jerry and Maureen. They got me on a program. It's called S&M Anonymous, okay? Anybody can join. Just send me an email later on. And speaking of my friends, Speaking of my friends, I'm going to give a plug to Maureen. I know it makes some people angry. I talk like she's the only telephone sorcerer around, but I don't know too many of them. But yesterday, she had a chat about telephone sourcing on her site, magicmethod.ning.com. I thought it was very good. There's going to be a transcript there. Maureen, is it up already?
It's up.
Okay. Endorsed by the recruiting animal. If you think it's garbage, you can argue with me. Okay, Stephanie.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to call you Steffalo. I like that nickname. It's like Jennifer Lopez is J-Lo. Go ahead.
Original, I've got to hand it to you. As long as you don't call me Steph, we're fine.
Steph. Well, I'm not going to call you Steph. I'm going to call you Steffalo. Anybody here can call you whatever they like. You can't do anything to them. They want to call you Steph. You take it up with them later on. Now, listen, I know you told us already on Twitter yesterday that you're a gutless chicken and you're not going to sing, but the rest of us are. You can't stop us from having our fun, okay?
You'll see.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to sing. 312 is just coming on. I opened the airlines for you. We're all going to sing a song we all know, Just Can't Get Enough by the Depeche Mode. I don't know if that's Jerry's cup of tea, but it's very easy. It's moronic. We're just going to sing the chorus. Just can't get enough, okay? Just can't get enough. We'll do it 2 or 3 times until I stop. Is anybody going to do it with me?
I've never heard this song.
Carl, how can you pick a good song?
Well, what do you want to pick, Carl? Carl
Just
Chapman?
Just can't get enough. Just
Carl Chapman,
enough.
What do you want to pick?
It wouldn't be I Just Can't Get Enough by Depeche Mode.
Okay, but
sure.
You got nothing positive to say. Okay, 1, 2, 3, Just Can't Get Enough. When I do it, whoever's with me. Okay, 1, 2, 3, Just Can't Get Enough.
Can't get enough.
I just
can't get enough.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, and now it's time for the Maureen Sharon cell phone sourcing show.
Okay. See, Maureen, I told you they're coming after me already. Now, listen, I want to get all the perverts off the show to start off with. It will satisfy them. They came here to talk about pantyhose. I do not have any kind of sexual fetishes about pantyhose. I know there's a big argument about them, whether women should wear them in a corporate environment or not. Some people think it's very oppressive, and since I'm not turned on by them, I'm okay with that. I say don't wear them. Bare legs are fine. Stephanie A. Lloyd, Steffalo, I know you've got some opinions about that. Do you want to tell us what they are?
I hate them.
Is that it?
I mean, in a nutshell. And
I agree.
I know there are definitely people who think that you have to wear them to an interview, and I disagree.
Okay, well, why not? You just disagree. I mean, is that your logic? Hey, hold on. Is anyone going to help her? Anybody else got opinions? Ladies first.
I can tell a story about pantyhose. It's
okay,
kind of
let's hear your story about pantyhose, but not too intimate, okay? It's a family show.
Well, it's kind of, it's a family. Okay, my mom died in 2000.
Oh,
and
sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear it, too.
It's awful.
And the funeral home, when we had to provide her burial clothes, asked for a pair of pantyhose. And I thought that was, like, the ultimate.
Kind of weird.
Indignity.
Kind of weird. I got nothing to top that. Anybody else? Okay. Everybody, go home, the weirdos. It's over. Pantyhose is done. I got another topic. I mean, that was pretty
Wait
weird.
Wait a minute.
Right?
I thought we were going to talk about pantyhose.
Okay. Who else is that wants to talk about pantyhose?
Hold on a minute. Can you hear me?
Is this Jill Ellswick?
Yes, this is Jill Ellswick.
Oh, you want to talk about pantyhose? Go ahead. Make it.
Well, yes, I kind of do because, I mean, I always thought, you know, you were to wear pantyhose on a job interview. It's the safe thing to do. It's the polished-looking thing to do. I don't understand how suddenly I'm allowed to not wear them, you know, on a job interview. So, I don't know. I don't get that.
Who says you're allowed not to?
A lot of people.
I've interviewed for several jobs that I got, never wore pantyhose, and I got the job.
You know what? There's a summer weight pantyhose that's really nice if you really have to wear pantyhouse. Get the summer weight.
Yeah, but
it's
very light. It's very light, and they have the control top, too.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean,
okay.
Oh, you know, I mean, I love them, but...
Stefalo, you know, what kind of guest are you? I saw you say yesterday on Twitter, now that it comes back to me, that you interviewed for a VP position. Three interviews, no pantyhose, and you were hired. Is that true?
That's true.
Well, why didn't you say that here? Did you think you told everybody yesterday you don't have to say it again?
Well, it's hard to get a word in edgewise.
That's not true. I give you a lot of time.
Yeah, that's not true.
Don't blame me.
You just talk over him. That's all you do.
But if your legs are tan, do you have to wear pantyhose?
I say no.
I mean, if you have...
I kind of agree with that. As long as you wear something...
I mean,
something.
Not everybody has good skin. Not everybody has pretty legs.
Okay. Let's do it just a survey. Jerry, bare legs sexy? Yes. I say yes. Bare legs sexy? Yes. Carl?
Oh, hell yes.
Anybody else, guys?
Jerry, it just depends.
JD's on the line. He'll decide it. Jason, are you there?
I am.
Okay, pantyhose. Must women wear pantyhose to an interview? You used to recruit engineers. You don't know anything about that.
So what's the question? Is it better with or without?
Yeah, but what do you think? Do you like bare legs? You know what?
JD,
we're talking
about interviews now.
I see women in shorts on the street all the time. They're not wearing pantyhose, and I find them very attractive, okay? I look at their legs.
Who wears pantyhose with shorts?
I know, but
who
the point
that?
Is that legs are good looking. There's nothing wrong with legs. Nature,
you
know, God gave those people those legs.
Not everyone.
It all depends on what shoes they're wearing, Animal. It's all
okay,
about the shoes.
Okay, I
want to
wrap it up.
Let's,
I just want to wrap it up
shoes.
With another.
One more thing. Are we like touching on sex?
I want to change.
Are we touching here? Are we touching here on sex in the workplace? Is that
yeah?
What
okay.
Mean?
No. No.
An interview.
Hey. Yeah, we jumped the shark, but. You know what? Next time we'll talk about shaving the legs, okay? Not today. We don't have time. Okay.
You know what, Animal? Yeah. This is almost as good as when you wrote that post a long time ago, how employers should not hire people with children.
Right. Nobody's laughing at that now, JD.
Well, people
we'll
went crazy.
We'll post it another time. Thank
people
you.
Went
thank,
crazy.
Thank you.
Hey, Jason. Do you know that post is gone? It's no longer on the internet.
Do I have to cut you guys off? Please, I want to move
on.
No,
I want to know how that happened. I want to know how they took that off.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that.
Bill
Barman
listened
to
this
show and he thought, what an easy target this show is. And this is a good example.
It's not catched. It's not nothing. It's gone.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Listen, Stephanie, are you there?
I'm here.
I got some good music to cut you guys off now next time around. Stephanie, HRM Today, it's a social network and it's up for sale. That is very interesting to me. I can't figure out, what does it say about social media? First of all, they're dumping it after they put a year or so work into it.
You
secondly,
know, I need to throw this in.
Hold on. Secondly, it's going for peanuts. So,
I am the possible next owner of that, Animal. I'm just throwing that in.
Oh, what, did you make a bid?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. You'd rather not say.
What's peanuts?
Okay.
What's peanuts, Animal? What's peanuts?
$1,500?
No, it's up to two.
It's up to 2,000. Okay.
Let me do a quick check on that.
Yeah, I don't care. Stephanie, what do you say? What does that say about the value of social media? If they're dumping it so cheap after they put their heart and souls into it, I assume.
1,500 members, right?
No, I think they got 200 or something, right? I don't know how many members they got.
No, I think they've got about 1,500.
Okay, Stephanie, answer me, will you?
Yeah, I don't know what it says about social media. To be honest with you, I'm not intimately familiar with that site. But I just said yesterday I was invited to join some social network I've never heard of by someone I've never heard of, and it just made me think there are too many social networks.
Oh, come on. There's too many people in the world, too. You can't do anything about that. I had to join a social network yesterday because Bill Borman posted on a new network and asked me to comment. I mean, so what could I do, right? Okay, so you don't have anything to say about that. Anybody else want to comment on the sensational sale of HRM Today? You know, don't forget, people are listening. They thought it was going to be interesting. Who's next?
When does it close? When does the auction close?
Ask Jerry after the show. Who's next? Anybody
no,
want to say anything
right
about that?
Now, let me just tell everybody. Current bid, $2,025. 2 days left, 12 hours left.
Peanuts. You know, they're going to get like 10 cents a minute for the amount of work they put in. Okay? Listen, all you social media maniacs out there. Okay. Okay, so, Stephanie, let's come back to you. I got to ask you something. You know, I got criticized this past week for taking it too easy on the lawyer who was here last time, so I have to be tough on you just to keep my reputation, okay? Now, you posted something on recruitingbloggers.com, which was a totally ridiculous article. There's people, the recession's on now. The recession's on now. Guys who are earning $90,000 are taking $60,000, which they would never take before, to work at a company they never would have worked at, just so they're working, right? And you're telling the employers who could not hire them for $90,000, you're saying, don't do that because they're going to leave you when the recession's over. Well, gee whiz, they would have left anyway. You could pay those guys $100,000 and they wouldn't want to be caught dead in your firm. They're just using you and you're just using them.
Yeah.
Got a comment?
Run that by me again. I'm not sure.
It's supply and demand.
What's your question?
It's not a question. I'm attacking you. Don't you know when it's coming? I hit you right in the face.
He's an acquired taste.
Stephanie, you said, okay, employers, when you're hiring unemployed people and you're paying them cheap because, you know, it's a recession, you're making a mistake. You're going to lose them when it's over.
Yes.
You're going to lose those guys anyway. You couldn't afford those guys. You're going out with girls who are way better looking than you because there's nobody else in town.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when people take – when they knowingly take advantage, and I've worked in companies, I've seen it happen, and I disagree with it. I think it's a horrible business strategy. And those people will leave. They always do. We see
you tell us a story. You tell us a story.
Well, I'm not going to name any company names, but I've been through plenty of hiring processes where we identified the right candidate for the position. The position was slated to be a certain level, let's say a director. And then all of a sudden, the hiring manager gets, time to make an offer, right? All of a sudden, they decide, well, it's not going to be a director level. Maybe it'll be, assistant director or manager level. And maybe we can actually get them for this because, $20,000 less or something versus what we would have normally offered them because they've been unemployed for X number of months. And that's where the offer comes out.
Okay, that's not what you said in your article. That makes sense, what you're telling me. You lack client control. Does anybody agree with that? That's a recruiting issue. I lack client control. I confess. Does anybody want to comment on what Stephanie just said? There's a lot of recruiters here. Carl, did she do something wrong?
No.
No. Everybody's quiet. Stephanie, what'd you do to these people? Did you make a mistake, Stephanie?
Well, I think I make a lot of mistakes.
Did you make a mistake in that situation?
I'm talking about a number of situations, Animal, not just one. I think in some situations I probably could have done a better job with client control. And I think in some situations, for example, in a sourcing role, how much control do you have over that?
Oh, yeah, you don't have any control there.
Right.
That's the recruiter's
right.
fault. But what could a recruiter do? That's what I'm asking in a situation like that. I really don't know.
I think it's important for recruiters to take on, when it's appropriate, take on kind of a consulting role and to talk with the hiring manager or whoever is making those decisions and explain why that's a bad idea in the long run.
You know what? I think it's not a secret. I can tell a story Harry F. Joyner told me, the marketing headhunter. He said he had a job that was paying up to something like $100,000, and he happened to find a guy who was way underpaid, like, I don't know, 70 or 68 or something like that. And so he brought the guy in. They said, well, we'll give him 80. That's a big increase, right? Not what the top dollar was. So when he went to resign, his own company offered him 110 or something like that to keep him because there was a new manager had come in and realized they had a great guy. They were underpaying. It was like an undervalued stock. So other people have had that too. Okay, I'm going to move on. The show's dying. Everybody's quiet. I don't know what you did to them. They must have come here for the pantyhose, and it just got over too fast. Okay, listen, you were a recruiter. We're going to get to that. Now you're a career coach.
I'm not a career coach.
What are you?
Well, I'm still trying to define that, but I'm working with individuals to help them with their job search, so maybe you could say job search coach.
Does anybody else think that's a petty distinction? Shame on you. Shame on you.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Career coach is a much greater umbrella.
Okay, you're a job hunting coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you then. Okay, a job hunting coach, it's even better. Now, I think job hunting coaches must be like policemen. They have the lowest impression of humanity possible. I mean, you're dealing with people. None of them have the brains to put their profiles on LinkedIn, and then when you tell them to put them there and you go and take a look at it, it's total garbage. You must think they're idiots. Am I right?
Well, I don't think idiot's a fair word, but I will say that I think a lot of people need help. You know, not everybody is a professional marketer. Everybody is a professional. Nobody wants to be a professional job seeker. They just want to get a job.
Right.
Hear, hear. This is Jerry Albright agreeing with you. Okay, go
yeah,
ahead.
Okay, but look, if a person goes to LinkedIn, they see the other profiles, and they put, like, you know, two lines down or something nonsense, they can't be too bright. Don't you agree?
Animal, people don't know
no, I don't agree.
What LinkedIn is. They're not experts at it
no.
like you and I are.
They don't live
they
in it.
They have to be taught. There's too much information for somebody to that's a candidate to be an automatic LinkedIn expert. They don't teach that in college.
Well,
people
now
are busy
starting,
working.
Now they are starting to teach it in college. But, you know, I mean, they didn't teach it when I was in college, when a lot of us were in college. It's not as intuitive as we who work in the industry think it is for everybody.
I frankly don't think it's real intuitive.
It's actually a crappy product.
LinkedIn sucks, but there's people in there if you can dig them out.
Right.
Okay, sorry about that.
Stephanie, I have lots of questions, but you want to take it in a certain direction? Should we go to your bio? Is that the best next thing?
Sure.
Okay. So who are you? Right now you are a job hunting coach in Atlanta or nationally?
Nationally, but I am doing a lot of work here, obviously.
Face-to-face? Do you meet people face-to-face?
I do, yes.
Do you
okay,
wear fanny hose?
Do I? No.
There you go. Actually,
you to picture this. Okay,
hold
ahead.
On. You worked at Deloitte & Touche, am I right?
I did.
That was a contract job you had just before you became a job hunting coach. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay. Did you wear pantyhose to the interview?
No.
Okay, there you go. You got the job.
Good work.
You got the job, right?
I did.
Okay, what were you doing there? I want to know.
I was a part of their National Experience Tire Candidate Development Team, which is a big word or a big phrase for sourcing.
What kind of sourcing? Internet sourcing?
I did primarily internet sourcing, and the rest of my team did telephone sourcing.
I gotta wait for the guy.
You were a manager? You had a team?
No,
Cut
no.
That guy off.
The other people on my team, I was not.
Okay. Okay, so they have a telephone source. Rob McIntosh has a telephone sourcing team down there in Atlanta at Deloitte & Touche. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah,
well, he's
yeah,
no
okay.
longer at Deloitte, but he used to.
Oh, yeah, he used to be there. Was he there when you were there?
Yes.
Is he a wild man?
I don't know. I didn't get to know him that well.
Okay, don't say. Okay, don't say. Don't tell us. Yeah, I know the story. Okay, and I got a question. You were a recruiter for like 12 years before that, working for yourself. Am I right?
No. I did corporate recruiting for 6 years, and then I did executive search working for someone else for several years, and then I went out on my own 3.5 years ago.
Okay, why did you decide to go into Deloitte & Touche? Were you striking out on your own?
No, I was actually, the first year and a half on my own, things were going well, and talk about serendipity. One day I had a random thought, maybe I should look into contract recruiting sometime. That could be fun. And the next day I got an email. Someone had found me on LinkedIn, and they wanted to know if I'd be interested in a six-month contract doing M&A or sourcing for the M&A group in a Big Four firm. And a week later, it was done.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've done contract work for Deloitte & Touche as well, but not inside, and it was many years ago. So you want to tell us why you liked it there? I know you loved it, so you might as well do a little plug for Deloitte.
I did love it. It was, I think, the professionalism was, just really a top-notch team. The interaction, people went the extra mile to help one another.
You want to know something? Top-notch and professionalism, those aren't words that really say anything. Now you're saying
okay.
they helped each other. Is
okay.
that what you're
it
saying?
It was collaborative, and I know you're going to say you don't like that word either.
No, tell me what it means. I didn't say I don't like it. What does it mean in concrete terms?
Collaborative means working together.
Yeah, thanks.
Right?
Okay, does anybody have a question for Stephanie? I mean, I'm striking out here, okay? Anybody got a question for Stephanie? There's like 14 people on the line.
Well, this is Jill Ellswick, and my question is the distinction, again, between job career coach and career. What was it again? Job
no,
search.
That's a stupid question,
coach.
Jill. Sorry.
I want, but why can't I ask this? You don't
go
have
ahead.
Anything else
go
going.
Ahead.
So is a job search coach someone who works with people who already know what they want to do, whereas a career coach is someone who works with someone who wants to find out?
I think job search coaching is a part of career coaching. That's one thing that career coaches do. But they also might help people work with people to figure out what they want to be when they grow up or if they want to go through a career transition and do something else. There's just a lot more to career coaching, and I don't do those things. I only focus on the
Come on, man.
Can I ask a question about all these different coachings and different things?
Jerry, be nice. Jerry, just be nice.
Can you make $200,000 a year doing it? Is that a bad question?
Yes.
I'm just wondering, and I'm not looking for anybody in particular's sales figures or anything. But I'm just wondering. I mean, is there money in this, or is it more of like social work, like community service kind of stuff, where you're able to, stay ahead, but your vacations are close to home.
Okay, Stefalo, answer him. He's talking too long.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself, and I don't work for free. Yes, you can earn money this way. But I also want to point out it's only one thing of many things that I'm doing.
Okay, hold on. He meant big money. And Kevin Kermes was on a few weeks ago, and he was talking. And when Jill Ellswick was a star, and he was talking about big money, at least over $100,000. You want to tell us what your target income is for the year, Stefalo?
No.
You don't
no.
want to. Okay. You want to tell us how much you charge an hour? That's one Maureen's question I was waiting for her to ask.
You know, I'm still working through pricing, but my minimum bill rate is $150 per hour.
Okay. 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 Anybody got a comment on that? No?
That's Mike Raymer secret witness stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Who is this? Jason Davis.
Bill Borman.
Yeah. So if what percentage of your clients have jobs and what percentage of them don't?
I would say
99.9%
do not.
They do not.
And how do they find you?
Yeah.
Through mainly Twitter, my blog, my Examiner column, and I do a lot of networking events and socializing.
Fuck out resumes.
LinkedIn.
Who's doing that? Who's the vocal sniper there?
I don't know. But what's a networking event? Want to tell us about that?
Yes. Probably most people on the phone have heard of a tweet up, but if they haven't, it's just another way to say, I don't know. It's a professional gathering in a fun atmosphere, and it's where a lot of things, people network, exchange cards, talk about what they do and how can they help each other and work together.
Okay, well, when you talk to somebody, this is just my question. Now, there's a guy that Jason Davis and I went to meet, and Jason left as soon as he showed up, but I stayed and talked to him, so I learned something. His name is Lee Shamuel, and he used to take teams to trade shows, teams of recruiters, and one of the things he told me he taught them was how to engage and how to disengage. Now, how do you disengage from somebody you're talking to at a networking event?
Wow. I don't know that there's one way to do it. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's challenging.
Idiot is listening to the show on his speakers. I've done it myself, okay, by accident. So please, don't play the show back into the show, okay? Sorry. How do you disengage, Stefalo? Stefalo?
Can we come back to that? I need to think about that for a second.
Okay, don't worry about that. Now, I saw you bragging on Twitter the other day that you've got a degree in economics. Has that ever helped you in your life?
Yes, I think it helps me every day.
Oh, give us an example.
Well, I think it just gave me a really – I find that the way that – it shaped how I think about things. It shaped how I view the world, how I view business practices, how I view my political views. I mean, it shapes everything about how I think.
Great. Okay. The Marxist viewpoint, is that what you're saying you take, a framework?
No.
Bourgeoisie, Okay, whatever. Okay.
Who is breathing into their phone so heavy? Can I just
ask? I don't think it's me. I don't
think
it's
me.
Sorry.
Be aware of your breath.
Okay, now, Stefalo, you were telling me the other day about job search intervention, and that says to me you have to apply for 90 jobs in 90 days or something like that. What does it really mean?
No, job search intervention. I'm starting tomorrow. I'm doing a four-week series of, it's just another way to say job search workshops or seminars. It's I'm working with Miriam Salpeter, Kepi Careers, if you're on Twitter. She's a career.
Want to spell that? K-E-P-P-I underscore careers. Is that right?
That's right.
Kepi. What does that mean, Kepi Careers? What does that mean?
There's an E after the I.
Yeah, K-E-P-P-I-E, sorry. What does it mean, Kepi Careers?
You'll have to ask her. It has something to do with a head above the rest or something like that.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So she's a career coach and resume writer, and she and I have teamed up, and we are conducting a four-week series of, we're calling them job search interventions, which, as I was saying, just means seminars or workshops.
It's good. I like it. It's just too bad it's not
boring.
As exciting as it sounds, yeah.
Okay.
And so it's just a way. It's basically group job search coaching. It's tomorrow is a larger overview. They walk away.
If someone's interested, where can they get in touch with you?
Youneedajob.org.
Youneedajob.org. Youneedajob.org. Now you're also doing an event, like a big networking event. Am I right?
I'm doing several. Which one are you talking about?
Social Media Mecca.
Oh,
now, I don't think that's a politically correct term anymore. I would watch my back if I were you. Social Media Mecca. What does that mean?
I'm working with Jenny Devon, and we have not fully defined the event yet, but we just had a brainstorm that there are so many talented people here in Atlanta and so many talented people who are not in Atlanta, and we want to bring everybody here together. So we're planning an event for sometime next year.
Okay, there's 15 people here. Does anybody have a question for Stefalo? About recruiting, about job hunting? I got lots of them, but I'm not turning her on. I'm not turning her on. She's not excited. I don't hear any passion in her voice.
It just sounds more like event planning and stuff than it does, I don't know. I guess.
Okay, let's go to recruiting. Jerry, here's a question I've been waiting for, okay?
Yeah.
We didn't even get to her blog. We'll come back to your blog, Stephanie.
Okay.
Listen, you say you've never been a cold caller, right? What does that
correct
possibly mean? I don't understand it.
Well, what don't you understand? I've never been a cold caller.
You get the name, you call the person, you say, I'm looking for people, you want a job. How do you get through to the person if you're not cold calling them?
When I say that I've never been a cold caller, I'm not just obtaining a list of random names blindly and calling down a list. No, I don't do that. I've never done that.
Okay, well, you know.
Well, you're a warm
you're playing
caller
with words there.
Okay,
who,
we got it.
Who
I'm a warm
earth
caller myself.
Yeah, who on earth opens a phone book and starts calling at random, okay? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, lots of people do that.
I do.
I get calls every day.
But Carl opens it to the restaurant section in the Yellow
That's
Pages.
Right. That's right. But I don't know who – I don't even know the guy's name that I'm calling for.
Restaurant recruiting would be so easy. Oh, so easy.
Sorry, what'd you say, Chair?
I said restaurant recruiting has got to be so easy.
Why?
Can you imagine?
Carl, hold on. Let's just see, Carl.
Well,
what
you call
do?
In there and you say, who's the manager?
Oh, okay.
Put him
right
on the phone. I mean, are you kidding me?
That's
okay
exactly right.
Matter of fact, most places you call in to complain, they say, well, I'm going to have to let you talk to the manager. Perfect.
Okay, Stephanie.
All right, sorry.
Stephanie.
Yes.
So now we've talked about how you do the sourcing and the cold calling, and we know that you're an internet sourcer, and we know that you were working with a team of telephone sources, so you know what that's about. So do you do just what everybody else does? You either look on the internet or you phone a place, find out who's doing what, and then cold call that person?
Well, when I was doing sourcing, I mean, yeah, rather than calling 200, 300 people a day, I would do upfront research and really try to learn as much about the person as I could to see if they are a viable candidate for that position. I mean,
okay, how did you learn about the person
before
you called them?
Internet research.
Is there that much on the internet about everybody?
No, not everybody, but I would find out as much as I could before I called them. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes, you're taking a chance. You find out as much as you can. You still don't know whether they're a viable candidate, so you call and try to learn more.
Okay. Now, you told me, does anybody have a question? Maureen, do you have a question? I don't know who else is on the line. I don't even know if Maureen's still here. No, she's sleeping or taking care of the baby. Anybody got a question before I go on?
About that or just about anything?
Before you talk, Jerry, what about the other kids? Are they shy? Do they want to say anything?
Animal, do you want me to ask a blogging question?
Oh, Bill Borman from the UK. Go ahead.
Finally.
Cephalo.
I've got some questions for you, Stefano, on blogging, because this is an area I'm quite interested in at the moment. Now, I know you've said you've had a lot of success at your blog, but how do you choose your target audience and how do you actually reach them with your blog when there's so much information out there?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me just say I've only had my blog for 3 months, so I'm.
What blog? Tell us the name. Tell us the name.
RadiantVeracity.com.
How'd you pick that title, Radiant Veracity? Did you have a spiritual vision or something like that? I mean, it's weird.
A friend of mine made an observation about my personality right before I decided to start a blog, and she said, well, I'm not going to tell you exactly what she said, but it kind of made me think about how my personality is similar to my grandmother, and I came up with this tagline, a healthy dose of candor served with a smile. And then from there I derived Radiant Veracity.
I like it.
Okay.
Thanks.
So tell us, answer Bill's question now. Go ahead.
So, Bill, what was your question again?
I knew that was coming.
Well, I'd say it like this. You know, you're similar to me in that you've come to blogging about 3 months. Now, to me, that's fairly late.
Like a madman from the UK?
Yeah, most of the good bloggers actually have already have the established following. Right now, you're standing out against maybe 30, 35, 40 bloggers on similar subjects. How do you get your blog to stand out, and how do you drive traffic to it?
And you had asked me before, how did I choose my audience, correct?
Yeah.
My audience for my blog is twofold. It's job seekers as well as HR professionals and other recruiters in my community, so to speak. How do I pick my what I'm going to write about? I choose what I'm passionate about. At the moment, whatever strikes me, I get inspiration from a lot of different sources, whether it's other blogs, articles, conversations with people, questions I get, you know, so a pretty wide variety of sources.
Yeah, how do you actually attract them, though, to come and have a look, the first-time viewers to come and have a look at your blog? Because what I'm seeing is in your subject area, I've got a choice of maybe 30 or 40 blogs I can look at any one time.
You know, I don't know, to be honest with you. When I first started my blog 3 months ago, and I know this is self-defeating, but I really thought it's going to be at least a year before anyone even pays attention to or reads my blog. And I just started it because I wanted to write, and I wanted – really just because I wanted to write and I had a lot to say. So I can tell you this. You had asked me on Twitter about syndication. I think this is an interesting example of how your blog can help you reach the audience that you want to reach. I've had, in the last week, I've had two articles that were picked up by Smart Brief on Workforce, which is a newsletter that goes out to 25,000 human resources professionals. And in the first day that they picked up my blog post and featured it on their newsletter.
Okay, the question is, how did they get that blog posting? I have to interrupt you, okay?
Well, she was getting to a specific result, man, and you cut her off.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, so the very day that they featured my blog post on Smart Brief on Workforce, my unique visitors that day was more than quadruple any previous day.
Which is what?
It had been, for unique visitors, before that it had been 206, and that day it was over 700.
Nice.
And then page views.
And the next day?
And the next day it was about 65% of that, because then the next day they featured it, my blog post on Twitter and on their blog and their newsletter, as the most click blog post.
Yeah.
So I got more traffic. And then just today they came out with, on their blog, another blurb about it, and they featured my blog.
Okay, how did you get them to pick it up? Because obviously without them, it goes straight down the toilet, right? Your hits.
Well, no, right. Because now I had, you know, how many more human resources?
Okay, I'm going to answer Bill's question, okay, and move on. Now, I'm going to give Bill the answer. I think, you know, Bill thinks somebody's been a blogger for a long time. It's a huge advantage. I don't think so anymore because – you know, with Twitter, if you hang around all day, if you put out a lot of things, people just get to know you, and you can keep, and they'll look at your blog. You post your stuff up there, you know, three or four times a day. A lot of people or a few people will click on it. You just have to be present all the time and doing all those things like sucking up to other people by RTing their stuff and like that and being nice. There is, I think, somebody could come in with good articles. You have to have some substance, and you could sock it right to the market you're trying to break into. Bill Borman's a good example. 4 months ago, we never heard of him. Now he's like my brother, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the answer to that question. Let's move on. I want to know about recruiting, Stephanie, okay? Now, I asked you the other day when you called me and we had a wonderful conversation, not like the conversation we're having now. I said, what would you recommend to other recruiters? What are your tips for other recruiters? One was, don't be a cold caller. We exploded that myth already. The other was, understand the job. Want to talk about that a bit?
Well, understand what you're recruiting for, yes. And I gave you an example that when I started on my own 3.5 years ago, I had a lot of requisitions or jobs to fill, and there was only me. So I joined a network of recruiters, a national network of recruiters, to do splits. And that was a very frustrating experience for me. I left the network after about 8 months because never I just found the recruiters who kept coming to me wanting to present candidates for these jobs I had, even I'd spend an hour or more with them on the phone talking about the job, the company, the nuances, the specifics, what the client was looking for. And they just didn't understand the job, and they were not sending me qualified candidates.
Which network?
I'm not going to say.
If you want to. Go ahead.
I'm not going to say.
What's the big deal?
I'm sorry. Jerry's
Stop
right. I back down. I back down on that. Talk to Jerry about it.
That's all right. I mean,
I just don't understand why you wouldn't say. If it's a crappy network, it's a crappy network.
Well, I'm not, because I don't know that it's the network's fault.
Okay, well, but it was your experience. So does that make your feelings invalid and our curiosity somehow wrong?
Excellent, Carl.
Hell yeah, I could be a host on this show. I don't yell all
well,
the time
that's
like
not
animals,
saying
though.
Much, but, yeah.
Come on, Steph.
Okay, forget it. It was top echelon, and it didn't work out for her.
Well, there's a lot of goobers on there.
Okay, Stephanie, you want to continue?
Yes.
So there's
so
what were those guys
my
just?
Sweet,
I thought
animal.
You know. When you talked to me the other day, I thought they were giving you jobs to work on, and they had not taken suitable job descriptions from their clients. What you're telling me is they were total dummies, and no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't bang it into their heads. Am I right?
Essentially, yes.
Okay. Well, okay. So
yeah,
you
that makes sense. I mean, it's all about who you meet, and you got to trust your own professional instinct on who are you working with, and do you have faith that what they're talking about is real?
Well, yeah, and at the end of the day, it's got to be worth your time to work with them. And I was spending more time trying to teach and train them what I needed than if I just went and did it myself and found the people.
Okay. Okay, so the other thing you mentioned to me was that you have to develop a good relationship with your client. What does that mean?
Well, that means it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier about being not just a recruiter but acting as a consultant as well. And when you think that your client is not acting in their own best interest, I think you need to have a candid conversation with them and offer your opinion and a little guidance.
Okay. You want to give us an example?
Well, there have been a number of times where, you know, various clients, you know, this happens a lot, I think. Clients will get a very, very specific, it's almost like they envision the resume and that's the only thing they want to see. And they become so specific about the candidate that they're looking for that it becomes impossible to find, especially given, let's say, you know, what they want to pay. So a lot of, I guess, so what I'm talking about is unrealistic expectations. And so, you know, in that situation, I think it's important to go to them and say, you know, this is what I've worked on, this is what I've found, and if you my recommendation would be let's loosen up a little bit on this requirement or that requirement or whatever.
What if they say no?
Well, if, you know, then I still think that it's up to you to give your opinion and offer their, you know, but at the end of the day, it is their decision, their job.
How about just introducing a candidate that's as damn close as you can get instead of talking about what you can't do for your client? Why don't you show them what you can do?
Well, right.
Yeah, that's what she was saying probably.
Is that what she was saying? Is that what you were saying? Okay. So you show the guy somebody who's $30,000 more than he wants to pay,
right.
And then when that other thing
that'd be absurd. You either show them exactly the person that they're looking for if they happen to have the higher salary, or somebody that meets the salary range with as much of those skills as they can get based on a thorough search of the geography, the niche, and the industry.
Right.
Right. That's probably what she was saying.
No, I don't think that's what she was saying, and that's not what I was saying, Jared. It's the opposite. Does anybody else have some input on that of a story that they've dealt with a client who was very fussy and didn't want to pay the salary that was involved, and so you had to tell them, hey, loosen your description. You're not going to find somebody who's an exact match, and even then you're going to have to pay more than you want to. Has anybody got a story, a real-life story about that?
Well, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Jeff Lipschultz,
yes, sir.
alistsolutions.com.
You know, it was funny in this case because when I told him that, he said, well, then let's go a whole different direction. Let's go get someone who's really cheap, and we'll train them. So instead of getting, you know, an $80,000 high-tech person, they're saying, well, if they have the basics and all that, we'll be willing to go a whole different way with this and go on the cheap, and we'll take him up the learning curve, which was kind of weird, but it was a whole different direction that kind of worked out.
And it was successful, and they didn't complain later on that they had a guy who didn't know anything.
No, he's been there over a year.
Okay, now the thing is there, if you're a specialist in the field, you don't have to go out and work and find out that you can't find anybody who's a match. You can tell the guy right up front, you're crazy.
That's exactly right.
Right.
That's the advantage there, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Anybody want to ask Stephanie a question?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What about, this is Sean from California, what about during this time with the market being really bad, we're seeing clients saying, well, they're out of work, so they're going to have to take a really less salary than what's expected. Have you folks ran into that?
Hello?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier.
Go ahead, answer the guy. He asked you a question.
Well, I haven't run into it since I haven't been recruiting for the last 8 months. But I ran into it last year, yes. You know, even when the downturn started.
I don't really see that much of that happening, frankly. I mean, corporations are still guided by their HR departments. HR departments, most, still have salary grades, you know, ways that they figure out number of years of experience times the skill set equals dollars plus college degrees. You still have ranges. Companies are now finding people at the lower end of the ranges possibly, but they're not shifting their entire salary equations just to rip somebody off because they're unemployed. I haven't seen that. And frankly, I wouldn't participate in that. I don't think it's going on. I don't see companies having to buy candidates anymore. I think they're more realistic with, hey, our range is 70 to 80. How about 73,000? Instead of, I'm going to try to get 85 for that person. So I just don't see it happening. The rampant salary abuse, it's not going on. I don't see it.
It's a little more likely at a smaller company, but in general, Jerry's right. I think it's more likely that they'll just say, you know, we're gonna extend the hunt here for the person, and try and find all the requirements we're looking for, and try not to settle like we were talking about before. I think they're gonna go a little bit longer, thinking that there's in their own mind that there's more candidates out there, and therefore it's more likely that they're gonna find someone who has.
Someone taking a bath while they're
90.
On the show? I mean, like, there's all kinds of,
oh, I'm
like,
sorry about that. Hold on a second. Let me change the drain plug here.
Okay, listen. I got Jeff, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Our friend, Bill Borman, maybe because he's an Englishman, he's a little – I thought they're soccer louts and the most vulgar people in the world lying in the street in their own beer. But in fact, he's so polite. He's sending me messages on Twitter if he could actually say something. Just speak up or bring a horn. If you honk a horn into the phone, I'll know you're trying to talk, okay?
Honk the horn. I forgot what show I was on. I'll tell you what it is, Adam. I just want to make a point on the last one, which is the big challenge for recruiters, I think, is...
Let's give Jeff Lipschultz, Jerry Jeff Lipschultz, a special guy on this show. Let him wrap up, and then we'll go to Bill Borman, okay?
Great.
And Bill, just try to talk a little louder. I notice you're talking loud on your own show now. Give me the same benefit, will you? Okay, go on, Jerry Jeff.
All for you, Adam.
Jerry Jeff, go ahead.
I think I was done. I was just saying that the companies are more likely to try and nail down a high percentage of the requirements they're looking for, and they're going to wait a little bit longer to get it. So instead of, you know, moving the price around, it's just they're going to be more finicky in general is what I've seen.
Yep.
I don't know if Jerry agrees, but that's what I've seen.
Yep.
Billy Borman. Do you have a middle name, Bill?
I do. It's Leonard. But there we
Leonard.
Go. We'll move off.
Billy
with Billy.
L. Borman. Billy
I'll,
L.
I'll,
Borman. Go ahead. Shoot.
I'll,
loud.
The point I want to make on this is that I think that the key thing is when we're talking to customers, first of all, we get the message across that it's harder to find the right people than easier when there's lots of people in the market. And they're not going to get the right person by going in cheap, because the right person working needs the right environment to be moving into. I think the other point on that is making sure we're getting the message across. They're not just recruiting for now. And if they buy cheap, then they might get someone cheap who's out of work, but they're going to be looking again in 12 months' time. And if they're thinking ahead, salaries are not changing massively. I think Jeff's right. What is changing is they're being a lot more fussy.
Okay.
All right.
Steffalo, you got a reply for him?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he brings up an excellent point. I think there are – I actually was a guest on a radio show, another radio show a few weeks ago, and we talked about this. And I think you know, a lot of companies are, or employers are, under the perception that, you know, there are just these mass quantities of talent out there, and therefore they don't need help, or if they do, they think they don't need to pay very much for it. And I agree with Bill. I think it's harder than ever to find the right person for the job, because you have so many more candidates applying and to consider.
Okay, I don't think that's a big problem, but I got to say
yes,
something.
Yes, it is.
I wasn't even going to say who it was. Carl Chapman is worried about you. He said I didn't say your blog. You did say your blog is called RadiantVeracity.com, right? Radiant Veracity. It means radiant truth for those in the third world who are listening to this show. Okay? And she's got this bright red hair. That's what I thought it meant. And she said, don't talk about her hair. I'm going to talk about it now. She's got bright red hair, and she's got a picture that highlights it. Everything's orange in that picture. Looks like it's on fire. Radiant Veracity. That's what it's about. Okay. Who wanted to argue with me about something? Carl, did you want to fight with me? You got 10 minutes.
No. I didn't want to fight. I was just going to tell a story that bolsters what Stefalo said.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a call from a restaurant company the end of July. An urgent search that was confidential. They needed a GM in Atlanta for a high-volume casual-theme restaurant. They absolutely had to have them in place by September 9th. They called me at the end of July. They wanted to pay 20%. Oh, local only, no reload.
Yep.
I said no.
So you let your client walk, right? You didn't bend over backwards to try to please them, right?
Please them?
Yeah.
I told them it can't be done that way. That's
okay,
not the way I work.
Did you use any tough, vulgar language?
No, I wasn't channeling Animal at the time.
Okay, listen, the super recruiter is sending me messages on Twitter. Does he happen to be on the line as well? I mean, I don't know, Bill's got more talkative people on his show. The same people call my show.
He screens his callers, Animal. You let anybody call in. It's just
the same people. It's the same people, the same topics, and they talk on his show, and they don't talk to me, okay, or
maybe,
my guests.
I don't know. It's the English. They command more respect,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, this guy says, super recruiter, I think he's down in Texas. He says, you have to understand your client's need. Okay, fine. Call in if you want to talk. It's not my problem. Okay, does anybody else want to ask Stephanie something? Or Stephanie, do you want to say something? I think you are starting a radio show of your own. And it happens to be on Wednesday, the same day as the Recruiting Animal show. When does it start? Next week?
Yes, it starts August 19th at 1 o'clock. Every
August 19th. Is it on Blog Talk Radio as well?
No, it's in the studio here in Atlanta.
Ooh.
It's in the studio. Well, what studio?
It's called Business Radio X.
How do they find you online?
How do they find my show online? Dreamjobradio.com.
Dreamjobradio.com. Okay. You know what? I'm going to just give out some people's Twitter addresses because it's too hard to give their URLs. Jerry is at Jerry_Albright. Maureen Sherub is at Maureen Sherub. You can't spell Sherub, I know. Carl Chapman Sr., SR, that's his, at Bill Boorman, is at Bill Boorman, and at Jay Lipschultz, you can't spell that either, but those are the people who've been speaking today. Is Andy Gregory, Jerry, has he been talking on the phone? He never identifies himself, but it sounded like him. I think that's Andy Gregory, CGP, at Call Me Slouch, that's Jason Davis. I don't think anybody else talked today. You got about 10 minutes left, Stephanie. Do you want to make a big it'll run over. Thanks very much. It'll run over. Do you have a big statement to make, or are you saving it all for your own show? Are you saving your passion for your show, not the Recruiting Animal show?
Because
I haven't heard you. You're not turned on. If I went out with you, for just a coffee, and our conversation was at this level, I'd say, you know, she doesn't like me very much.
Well, I'd like to know why we should tune into her show. What are we going to learn by tuning into her show? Is that a good question?
What, are you a shill?
What?
Let me ask her that. What do you want to talk about, Stephanie?
Well, sure. We'll talk about Dream Job Radio.
Okay, cool.
Pretend like this is your show for the next 5 minutes.
Well, let me tell you about the concept, first of all. The concept is that I'm going to have job seekers in the studio with me, or they can call in if they're not located here in Atlanta, and it's going to be an on-air job search coaching session where we talk about the job search, their resume.
I'm starting to eat my lunch.
The challenges that they're having and how they can overcome them. And then kind of I think a fun twist to the show is it won't be every show and it won't be for every candidate, but I will find out in advance what their dream job is, or if they could work for any company, what company would it be? And then we will have surprise guests, hiring managers and executives from those companies periodically show up on the show.
Okay, let me ask you this. You told me you've got some job hunting recommendations, right?
Yes.
What are they? One of them is if it annoys me rule. What does that mean? Is that like the golden rule?
No. That was anecdotal in a conversation we were having, Animal. I just said, generally speaking, I have found when just general observations, things that people, you know, people who want you as a recruiter to help them, the way they approach you on the phone or on Twitter or on LinkedIn, you know, things that we all see time and time again on resumes, mistakes, cover letters. Just generally speaking, I found through this network and community of other recruiters and professionals that I'm, you know, interacting with, that we are interacting with, generally speaking, I find that if it's something that annoys me, it usually annoys the most.
You know how I'm going to give you some advice for your show. Cut your sentences in half.
Yeah,
you don't have to make them that long.
I'd go with a third of that.
Okay, yeah. Cut those answers down. Now, I didn't interrupt you. I let you hang yourself. Now, here's something else I want to ask. Here's something else I want to ask you. You want to talk about how blogs can help people find a job. Go ahead. Shoot.
Well, I think I know blogs can help people find a job because they give people an opportunity. I mean, first of all, it's your landing page. It's your website. Google, of course, loves fresh content, and so it's a way for you to control what's going to be.
Tell me how someone's going to find your blog. You start a blog today. When's Google going to find it? You're in the sandbox for 6 months. That
no,
means
you're
that,
not.
Well,
you're not in the sandbox for 6 months. Not if
that's
you do
not
it well.
That's not true, Animal.
That is not true at all.
That's totally not true.
You liar.
Animal,
you know who told me that?
For, Animal, I built a blog for my wife's piano teaching business.
Yep.
I published it on a Friday. On Saturday, it was number one for Johns Creek piano lessons on Google.
Well, what's Johns Creek? Is that the town where you
That's
live?
That's where I live. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Johns Creek. You know why? Because there's nobody else doing it in Johns Creek.
You just said it was in the sandbox for 6 months, so I just proved you were wrong.
Okay.
Next.
Yeah, fine. Come on, Stephanie.
Okay,
I won't argue that. Go
so
next.
The example that I gave this morning, and I blogged about it, is this guy, Rod Boothby, who he found his job from his blog. He had the blog, and then he networked with other professionals in his industry. He was invited to speak at conferences, and through all of that activity, he landed his current job.
Let me ask you something. If 90% of the morons are job hunting, don't know how to put something up on LinkedIn, how many of them can write a blog?
I don't think everyone can write a blog well.
Now, what percentage?
I don't know.
Well, come 10%. On, estimate. I'll tell you, 10%.
I would guess 10%.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, fine. Just want to prove that.
So,
okay.
So
Animal, you really are eating your lunch, aren't you?
No, I'm eating some peanuts. Okay, so Stephanie, you got 1 minute. Parting words.
Parting words?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on your show. It's been fabulous.
No. I want you to say something to the world. Come on.
What do you want to know?
I don't know. Didn't you prepare for the show?
I did prepare for the show.
Are you ready to sing?
Today.
Are you ready
singing.
To sing?
No.
Are you ready to sing?
I'm not.
Hey, you know what? I should tell everybody that Stephanie, at least I thought so, maybe not after today, but she and Jenny Devon are going to be my helpers when I do this show live at Recruit Fest in Toronto on September 23rd. Am I right? Are you still in?
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, I see it.
Of
course. There it goes. Okay,
of
what? This is a, come on.
Speaking.
This is a little, so you don't have to sing. If you don't have to sing, but like this is like a little soap opera. How come you're giving it second thoughts? How come?
Oh, I'm teasing, Animal. I'm not giving it second thoughts.
Okay. I just wanted everybody to have that public. Anybody want to say something nice to Stephanie before we go?
Hey, Stephanie, the super recruiter. You did awesome.
Hey. Oh, thanks.
That's a super recruiter?
This is the super recruiter.
I thought you were in Texas. You don't have an accent.
No, I'm not from Texas.
Who
oh,
is
okay.
super recruiter? We need a name.
Is it Mark Goldberg or something like that? Mark
yeah,
Goldberg?
Michael, yeah, Michael.
Mike Goldberg. Mike
Hi,
Goldberg.
Mike. I'll see you in London
Welcome
next
Welcome to the
week,
show.
Michael.
Do you have a, at Super Recruiter, do you have a website, Mike?
I do not. I'm a corporate recruiter. So, but I'm building one. Just ask
okay.
Stephanie. So,
great. Are you friends with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Stephanie's good people.
Thank you, everybody.